This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
And guys, we're not on the typical couch as you usually see, because we all know that the best conversations happen on the couch, but we are in a couple different rooms here. So bringing our guest in today, who I've had the privilege of working with for just shy of 3 years and had in my network for probably just shy of eight. And not only is he a colleague, but also a really great friend and mentor. And in this crazy world that we call life, it's been amazing to see his journey, not only as an entrepreneur, but as a person. And we continue to talk about the struggles that you go through and the things that you're in. They not only can define you if you allow them to, but really just allow them to shape you. And Fitzy is more than an example of that. And I can't wait for him to really share his journey with you today. And so somebody who has spent countless hours in the gym, countless hours in the National Hockey League, an entrepreneur himself, working with Under Armour Canada, pleasure to introduce you guys all to Mark Fitzgerald.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Look forward to chatting and great to see you guys as always.
So Fitzy, I'd love you to kind of just tell our audience a little bit about your journey, because it's very similar to, and again, the mindset of professional sports is not what many people think. But your journey from childhood to today, what shaped you and what ultimately took you to those down that road from a little kid in Ontario to ultimately to the NHL?
Well, yeah, I think going back to your first point, it's most professional sports are definitely not what you think they are. And I think anybody who's spent any time there will tell you the same. And that's not being negative. That's just the reality of it. That's, you know, it isn't what it seems. You know, going back to my journey, I think I've talked about this a few times, but I think first and foremost, I think I was very lucky to and fortunate to be, you know, in an Irish immigrant family, people that, you know, my parents who saw work as something that was honorable and something that was, you know, a really key integral part of your life, and to do whatever job you had, you did it to the best of your abilities. And I think that, you know, I don't think I'm better than anybody, but I think that lays a good foundation in terms of just your drive. And I think I've been, you know, that's something I've talked about before, and that internal engine that you really want to do things in life. And I think I wouldn't say I'm some sort of rarity by any means, but I think when you have some internal drive, it definitely gets you through some of the sticking points, you know. And I think that's, I think what I see now is a lot of young folks that come through my doors who are lacking a little bit of that. And it's hard to give that to them, because it's not something that you can just fabricate, put in a box and, hey, here you go, here's your problem solved. I think I was lucky to be, you know, pushed in a certain way that was just like, hey, if you're going to do something, you're going to do it to the best of your abilities. And I think that small thing turned into a pretty big thing in terms of, you know, wanting to be an entrepreneur. Yeah, as you know, it's not easy, and every day is different, which sometimes is good and sometimes it's not so good. You know, so I think that lays the foundation. I think, you know, growing up, it was, you know, my two older brothers, I'm the youngest of three. One of them's a forensic detective and one of them's a, you know, firefighter. He's a captain in the fire department. So both very successful guys. They were successful from a pretty young age. I think my brother was a cop before he could even have a drink at a bar, you know. So it was kind of, the expectation was to, you know, go and get a job right away. And that's something I didn't want to do because I didn't really know what I wanted to do, you know. And I think that's, you know, to have a little bit of that uncertainty was, looking back, not a bad thing, you know, and trying to figure out what I really loved and if I could make money doing that, you know. And I think that's I always looked at coaching or, you know, being involved in sports as a, you know, a part of my life for sure, but I didn't think, you know, it would eventually lead to what I do for a living, you know. And I think that's, again, I'm very fortunate that that's what I get to do every day. And there's, you know, some days where I coach for an hour and there's some days where I coach for 6 hours. And then I have to fill it in with other stuff and, you know, business work and whatever. Right. So, you know, so growing up in that environment, I think it gave me some good tools to really start to explore, you know, things outside of a normal job or a typical job. Like, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, firefighting or being a police officer. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a carpenter. So all very noble professions for sure. And professions that really help people. And I think, you know, I just try to find a different path, but ultimately the same result. And I just got asked about this the other day, and we're celebrating, ETS is my company, and we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And, you know, ultimately the reason why I wanted to do that was because I wanted to help people. I wanted to have an avenue where I could help people. And you know, athletes just happen to be that avenue. You know, and I think growing up, I was fortunate to start playing football, you know, and that was a huge influence on me. I still speak to my high school coaches, who are all, oddly enough, police officers who, you know, volunteered their time to coach at our high school. And, you know, that got me into a university to go play football at university, that, you know, I was the first person in my family to have a university degree, right? So I think, again, I'm so fortunate that I was put in front of some of these people, and they took the time to see someone that, you know, did have some drive and did have some want to do something. And I think that goes a long way. And I think that, you know, it imprints on you at a young age to, you know, see what you actually want, even if it's not abundantly clear, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, congratulations on the 10-year anniversary of your business. That's really amazing and something to be celebrated. I want to dive a little bit more into this development of what you call drive, because certainly as Justin and I are entrepreneurs ourselves, and as you know, this is one of those key things that helps you get through every day, and particularly some of those harder days. Can you tell us about how this strong drive came to be? Where did you get it?
Well, you know what, that's a really good question. I don't know if I have a really good answer. I don't know. I answered another question, similar question a few weeks ago. And it was, you know, I made a joke around it saying, like, I don't like being told what to do. But ultimately, I think that has something to do with it. You know, I like, and again, I don't think I'm smarter than anybody. I don't think I'm better than anybody, but I have a way of looking at things. And I think I have a valid point. You know, I've been through some stuff on the business side. I've been around people who, you know, I wouldn't have the gym without, Justin mentioned Under Armour. I've been with them for 16 years, and their CEO, who's now retired, you know, he made me do a business plan, and then he made me do it about 10 times over because of all the mistakes I made continually, you know. So without a guy like him, I don't have the same business, you know. And I think when you put in that type of work and you put in that type of, you know, before the gym even opens, you're putting in these types of experiences and work, I think it changes the way that you look at the business. And I think, you know, I had some other, another partner who is a very successful guy, and he gave me his CFO whenever I wanted him. You know, it's like, hey, look at our books. Hey, they taught our staff how to do rolling forecast and, you know, how the numbers should look and be presented and, you know, operate like you're a multi-billion dollar company. And, you know, that's, you know, act bigger than you are, you know. And it frames it up in a way that changes the way that you look at the business. Right. So I think going back to the question around drive, I don't know if I have an answer. I think it just comes from, I would say, never being satisfied. That sounds too much like I'm a wrestler or something, but I think that has something to do with it too, is knowing that, you know, hey, I want to be the best. I do. And I don't mean that from an arrogant standpoint, if that makes any sense, but it's just striving to be, you know, create some impact, to steal from Todd Durkin, or to do something, you know, within this industry that people will remember, or that I can have influence, you know. And I think that when I look at, and we've spent a lot of time this past, well, the starting half of 2022 looking back, which is really cool. Not always good, obviously, but looking back in a positive way around just some of the things and some of the people that we've affected. And I say we, my company has affected. And it's, you know, today we have, you know, 24 different levels of intern work study students that are working in ETS and working at all different locations. You know, I spoke to probably 6 to 10 people who have come through our doors that have now opened their own gyms. And like, to me, that's like, that's what is giving me drive to keep going and, you know, keep building and keep doing what I'm doing, because that's impact. That's impact that nobody can ever, you know, take away from me, even if I'm not the best strength coach in the world, which I'm not, you know. And I think that there's not too many things in this life that you can really, you know, unfortunately, once you pass away, you pass away, you know, unless you have a name on a building, or which I don't think I'm going to get, you know, unless you have things like that, I feel like you have to look for ways to create impact in other ways, you know, like you have to look for different avenues, to create impact. And I think, you know, will it go beyond Whitby, Ontario? I don't know. I don't really care. It's just impacting the people and helping them with their lives. I think that's ultimately, now I figured out, that's really the drive, is, you know, chasing money and doing all that stuff that comes to an end, although it is important for sure. But, you know, having the impact is, I think that's what makes me realize that, you know, hey, today was a bad day. We didn't make enough money and we had, you know, 3 fires that I had to put out, but you know what, tomorrow's a new day and I may get one email that would change my week, you know, from somebody who's come through our doors, who's experienced our program or one of our coaches or, you know, or whatever. And that's where I think, and I know I'm rambling like crazy now, but it's not an easy answer, you know, but I think it's wrapped up in a lot of those things.
It's unique when you come over to that. I wrote down a word here, obsession. And oftentimes people talk about obsession is such a negative. It's got such a negative connotation in our culture. But in order to create that level of impact that you're talking about, it takes a level of obsession to get there. It's not being satisfied with the status quo. It's wanting to disrupt whatever's there. It's wanting to continue to show up day in and day out, even after a bad day or 3 bad days or 30 bad days in a row, of continuing to get back up and take one more shot and one more shot and one more shot. And so I can attest to the impact that you're making. It is not just in Whitby, Ontario. Is, I mean, you had a big impact on my career. Our 3 years together in Anaheim, and being able to just see what was the athletes, the culture, the community that we had there, but also on me and the development after. So I can attest to you that does exist, and that does happen with the intention of what you have.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
So I want to go back to another thing that you had spoken about, which was wanting to be the best at what you do, no matter what it is. And oftentimes there's this sense of ego as to why people get into entrepreneurship, this sense of ego as to why they want to create a business or why they want to work for themselves. And when it's comes from a place of, we talk about it all the time, servant leadership and serving people, changing people, impacting people, that's where the business all of a sudden starts to thrive and change. And so for listeners out there who have been doing everything by the book, following the, they've got the marketing plan, they've got the business plan, they've got the financial component, they've got everything in place that they need, but yet continually are struggling or aren't fulfilled in that level. What, I guess, advice would you give, or strategies would you provide of being able to lead in a different way and still find that level of success fulfillment in what they're doing, or be able to reassess? What is your framework in being able to bring that to fruition in your life?
Wow, that's another good one. I think it starts with that, and this is a very overused word, but it's the passion. You know, like, why are you doing it? Like, what is that driver? Is it a driver of money? Well, hey, you might do well for a little while, but that's probably going to end poorly. Are you doing it because you genuinely want to help people? That's long lasting. And now that's all well and good and, you know, fluffy and whatever, but you have to have that. You have to actually have a passion that makes sense. And I know it's maybe a little bit harsh, but if your passion is to plant flowers all over the world, well, hey, awesome. And I'm sure we need that, but that's not something that people are going to be, you know, drawn to, I don't believe, you know, in a real strong way. And you mentioned the ego, like, of course it's ego, you know, and I've said that to you before. Me making the decision to go to Anaheim was an ego play, and one that I, you know, would I change it? I don't know. I don't know if I would, but it was way too much ego on my behalf in even making that decision to go there, you know, because, you know, there's other things that happen because of that decision for sure, good and bad or positive and negative, but ego played a huge part in that. And I think as I've gotten older, a little bit older anyways, I've realized that if my ego is always making those decisions, or if the ego is always the one that's speaking the loudest, then the decisions aren't going to be the most beneficial for me and my family. So, you know, the ego is always going to be there, and the ego, you know, whatever. I think it's healthy to have a strong ego in some senses for sure, because, you know, you've done the same thing. When you go into a room, you have to own the room, right? Like when you have an event in Costa Rica, like you just had, if you don't have an ego, you can't walk into that room and people won't even recognize, you know, people won't even turn their heads at you. But when you have that ego and walk into that room, those people know to turn their heads and look at you. You know what I mean? Like it's just, there's a really healthy part of the ego that I think all leaders have, or more leaders have than others, right? And I think that's, as long as you can manage it and make sure that it's not always driving the bus, that's a positive thing. And I think for me, it's, you know, when you're leading a business, when you're leading a training facility or something like that, I don't think it matters what it is, that passion and ego and, you know, that the reason your business exists has to be really clear, has to be super clear. And I think with ETS, I've learned that, because there's been times where we haven't been clear and it's hurt us. Right? Because people get confused. What is this place? Is this place for athletes? Is this place for, you know, average Joes and soccer moms, which nothing wrong with any of those people, but you have to identify who you're going after. You know, like Eric Cressy is what? Baseball, right? He also does a lot of other things, but he's baseball. He's done a fantastic job of carving out that piece of business for himself. But realistically, when you look at it, he does a lot of other work other than in baseball, right? So it's like with ETS, we had to figure out, like, who are we and what can we stand on for a long time? Well, here's who we are and here's how we're going to do it. And it's, I would say it's transformed the business, but it's just brought clarity to why we're doing what we're doing. And we've simplified, we've gotten rid of a lot of different noise that was in our business, trying to be everything to everyone. Like, just things that I think when you have all those pieces in place, like you mentioned, it's really hard to wonder why. It's not hard, but you start to wonder, okay, well, why aren't people coming? You know, and have you done a good enough job at actually getting out in front of people and saying, this is who we are and this is what we do? Because if you haven't, it doesn't matter what you have set up in place. You know, people don't know, but people still walk into our main location and go, oh, and no, there was a gym here. And it's hilarious now, because it's like, well, you know, we've got my marketing. I never really do any marketing. We just put jerseys on the wall. When you play a pro game, compete in the Olympics, whatever, you sign your jersey and we frame it and put it on the wall. That costs me whatever. That's my marketing. That's where I spend my money marketing. So I don't really do any, but you would think by word of mouth with these people through doors that people would know. Well, they don't, you know, plain and simple. So if you're not getting out and telling people who you are and what you're doing, like it's really tough to tell that story if people, you know, don't know where to tune in. That makes sense.
Yeah, you're completely right. And for so many entrepreneurs, especially in the beginning of their journey, that's where they get really stuck, is without having that clarity. But two of the things that I'm really hearing from you loud and clear in terms of how to find that clarity goes back to the idea of passion and impact. And in your example, you've been able to define that your passion has to do with helping athletes. And that's where your impact really plays a big role. So for those listeners of ours who might be struggling to get that clarity or might be struggling to figure out, what is my passion? What advice would you give them?
Well, it's advice that I've gotten from a mutual friend of ours, Todd Durkin, and it comes back to planning and it comes back to putting things down on paper. You know, even before I got the job in Anaheim, I was working with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I do this thing called the annual roadmap, and it's an exercise I do through him, and I'm sure you guys do something similar. It's not, you know, a special thing. It's just looking at the year in front of you and starting to think of things that you want to do, milestones you want to hit in your business, personal milestones, financial, relationship, whatever it is. And, you know, I've been doing it now for 10, 11 years. And a big part of it is just looking ahead. You spend a little bit of time looking back as well, but looking ahead and saying, okay, what do you actually want to do? And put it on paper. And that is like, sounds small, but it is a pretty powerful thing once you put it down on paper. And for me, I show it to my wife, Danielle, and, you know, she gets a glimpse into my brain for a little while as to, you know, where my goals are and what I want to do and how I see our family growing and all this stuff. And there's been things that I've put in those documents that I didn't even know that I really wanted to do that have happened. You know, they've happened because, you know, you put out that intention, whatever you want to call it, you put it out there and I may not have talked about it a whole lot, but there's things that have come true that are like, wow, like that's, you know, that's pretty powerful. Right. And so I think on the business side, it was really defining who we are. I read a great book by Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And I remember being on the plane in Anaheim, and I think it was 2015. And I wrote like a 6-page email to all my main staff. And I said, I figured out who we are. This is who we are. You know, and I wrote this whole kind of like manifesto almost of, you know, and I finished every sentence or every paragraph with "we coach." I said, that is our difference maker in our community, is that we have full-time coaches. We have professional coaches who don't just come in, work for 4 hours and go home and go to another job or whatever. We coach. And that's our difference. And you could see how I could, you know, take that off into a number of different areas. And that's what I did. And that changed our business completely changed how we did things, because everybody was just like, oh, okay. Like, I don't want phones on the floor. I don't care about Instagram. I care about you coaching the athlete that's in front of you or the athletes or whatever. You know, that was just one of the things. But I think what I would also say is, what is your why? What is your, you know, mission statement or core values? Whatever name you want to put to it, doesn't even matter. Just write it down. Just start writing in terms of like who you are as a business and what your mission is as a business. And I think right there, that will start you with clarity around, okay, how to make this business an actual business, how to make income, how to create impact, how to do all those things. Because if you don't put it on paper, it's, you know, and it's interesting because right now, you know, with the anniversary and stuff, it's given me another opportunity to kind of rewrite that email, you know, and refocus our intentions around what's next. I mean, we survived or surviving COVID, which I know is not a thing where you guys are, which is awesome, but it's definitely still a thing here. And it sucked and it hurt, you know, and there was when it first started, I was like, whatever, we'll do some Con Ed. I had a bunch of people come in and do some Zoom calls for my staff. It was great. It was actually really good. I got to spend more time in front of my staff than I had in a while. And then it kept going. And then it kept going. And then, you know, the accountant starts to show me, hey, this is what this month looked like. And like, yikes, you know? So I think if we don't have that plan, or if my staff doesn't know what the target is or where the ship is going, then it's going to be hard and it's going to be confusing for not only your staff, but people who are buying your services or thinking about buying your services, right? So write it down, start with whatever you want to call it, mission statement, core values, game plan, like whatever. It's just start by putting it on paper and then showing it to someone who, you know, you trust and whatever, and refining it and then presenting that to your people. Or just if you're a one-man show or a one-woman show, print it and put it on your wall. I can show you, my binder is right beside me here. I print off my whole roadmap planner and I try to look at it once a month. And hey, am I on track? Like, and it's not like a hard and fast thing. It's something that ebbs and flows with the year.
Ooh, like, sure.
Yeah, it has to be, right? It's not a thing, but there's things in there that like, hey, am I tracking towards X? You know, like I want to go on 6 vacations this year. Okay, we've done one. Well, we better try to squeeze in some more here because that was part of the goals, right? So just little things like that, but they turn into pretty big things and pretty influential things in your business because it, you know, it's easy to get distracted and it's easy to chase the shiny thing. Like, oh, we could go make 10 grand over here. Yeah, but if we stick on this path, we're going to make 100. You know, and it doesn't all have to be money-based. It's just more like, are you following what the path that you set out to begin with, right?
Oh, you're exactly right. And I think even too, on that point, I'll tell a little story is, I had done those exercises where you've like gone through your core values and what your purpose, what your mission is. And it was always for me about that ride up into the NHL. Right. And so it was always, it was fixed. It had like, it could only ever be so big because you were, there was so many limitations. There were so many guardrails. There were so many things in place. And so I still remember when I got fired, you had sent me that blueprint that you talked about. You said, hey, just spend some time with it. And for the first 2 weeks, after, that happened in late January, that's all I did. For, I'd wake up, I'd go to the coffee shop, I'd work on it. I'd think, I'd meditate, I'd manifest. And then I'd come back and maybe get a workout in. I'd come back, I'd work on it. I'd grab some dinner. I'd come back, I'd work on it. It was 2 weeks long. And as Elise and I obviously just got married, I was digging up some things to kind of put into like our vows and some letters to her. And because that became a ritual of mine, a routine every year to do one of these roadmaps. And then, as you said, continue to look back on it. I pulled out the first one I ever did, the one that you gave me. And everything on that list not only was completed and done, but blown out of the water and like 100x'd. And the unique part about that is that by doing that, it not only starts to manifest in a subconscious way and you become focused on it, but it changes the mindset and eliminates those barriers, eliminates those confines that we so often put on ourselves because of environments, and it allows us to dream. And there's a great quote on there. It says, chase your dreams because dreams won't chase you. And it's being so focused on what that is to be able to lean in. And by simply doing what you talked about, it allows you to visualize and picture what you want and thus guide the action steps that need to be taken.
Yeah. And I think I usually do that exercise. I start it mid-December and I try to finish it by, you know, the first week of January. And it should take you anywhere from, you know, 6 to 12 hours, typically, you know, like if you were to sit down and try to do the whole thing one day, which I don't recommend. Some years it's taken me 20 hours, you know, just by chipping away at it. And like, because once you start going down that rabbit hole, you start to, it bleeds into other questions and it bleeds into other you know, just aspects of your life. And I think that like, there's not many things that are more valuable than that, you know, just from a, cause like you said, like you snap your fingers and 5 years go by and it's like, oh,
wait, that thing that I wanted to do that actually fell into the back burner that I actually did is holding me back from even creating what I'm looking for.
Right.
Never really know that.
That's scary, you know? And I think I have friends and, you know, who have jobs that, you know, go on a 1 week vacation every year to an all inclusive. And that's great. Like, but that's not for me, you know? And I'm getting ready for the off season here for hockey. And it's like, this is the time when I work really, you know, very consistently and coaching every day for 5-6 hours a day, which I love, but by the end of it, I'm cooked, right? Because I just dump myself into it. And then by September, I need some time to kind of recalibrate and whatever. And, you know, I think if you don't put some thought into what the calendar year looks like for you, and again, there's things you can't control. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about what you can control, what you do every day. You know, little check marks that you want, you know, training, nutrition, all the good stuff that we all talk about. But, you know, if you don't have any sort of roadmap at all, it's, man, it becomes a pretty big hill to start to climb.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You are. And it's, you know, having that clarity, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, is really what can ultimately become your North Star. So Mark, I'm curious to hear from you, from somebody who's created their own path to ownership. What would you say in a word or a phrase is your definition of ownership?
You guys got a lot of good questions.
We're going to make you think when you come on here.
I know. My own path of ownership. I don't want to make it sound egotistical, but I think, you know, the ownership comes from just knowing who you are. You know, I think that's, And then that phrase has come up quite a bit recently. I can't tell you why, but, you know, it goes back to, you know, being in a professional setting, like a team setting, you know, where testosterone filled and, you know, pecking order and, in, you know, tenure and all that stuff, like being in the NHL dressing room, I'm very comfortable in that situation. Right. And I know Justin is too. That's a certain skill set to be in that type of room and be comfortable, you know? And I think owning your ownership comes from what that comfort is. And I think it's different for everybody, and I may sound like a crazy person, but for me, I know who I am. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And if I'm not good at it, I have an incredible network to go and get the answer that I need. And I'm okay to do that because I think I realized early on that if I didn't have the answer, it's a better strategy to say, hey, I don't know the answer, but I think I know someone I can get the answer from. Let me get back to you. As opposed to saying, oh yeah, it's X, and having someone come back and say, actually, you were wrong. I don't know why you would say that. You know, you've set off this chain reaction of, I did the thing that you said, it was wrong. Why'd you say it? Well, I said it because I was nervous and I was, you know, didn't want to disappoint you, you know? And I think that it comes with age, it comes with experience for sure. But the faster that you know who you are, you know, and it doesn't have to be like a, hey, I'm this person, I'm 25 years old. Well, obviously it's going to change, right? Like, but to have at least a, and for me, it didn't happen until later on in life. It really just did, because when I was a young coach, I was pretty immature and thought I knew it all. And, you know, I was lucky to work with a guy named Adam Foote, who's a retired hockey player. And he humbled me quite a bit, a few times. And, you know, sometimes he did it very, you know, out in public-ish. And sometimes he just did it very subtly, right? So I didn't realize it at the time, but he was trying to show me something, trying to teach me something along the way. And I feel like now I'm much better at filtering those types of things and saying, you know what, I'm going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to be successful, you know, and that's ownership. I think, and now I know I'm all over the place, but it's an all over the place type of answer, because I don't think it's just one thing. I think it's just adapting that whatever that is to the situation. You know, like this is something I've said before. I used to take like incompletes and zeros in university because I didn't want to get up in front of the class and talk because it just crippled me. And I was so nervous. I was so whatever. Now I get paid to speak in front of people, you know, and like, I think my parents are still pretty amazed at it, to be completely honest, because it, as a younger person, I avoided it at all costs, you know, but you start to realize, hey, I've done a few things. I'm going to get up and talk about the things that I've done. And I'm not going to talk about anything that I haven't done.
Totally.
You know what I mean? I think that, again, like that goes off on a different tangent, but that to me, that's ownership, because I'm not going to be something I'm not, right? Because I know currently what I am and what I'm aspiring to be, but right now this is it.
Totally. Totally get it. Where can people find you? Where can people interact with you and engage with you at some greater levels?
Well, I'm on all the socials, although to your point, I don't do a great job at, you know, posting as much as I should or whatever. I should probably get on your game plan doing that, but, at Fitzgerald ETS, and then we have a new website launching because I haven't done it in a long time, is elitetrainingsystems.com. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I love it. So guys, as you go forward, we know that the ego is something that can often hold us back. It's something that can make decisions for us if we are not operating in a conscious mindset, if we are not conscious about what is happening and present in every single moment. It can take us to something that is unintended. And in doing so, we need to make sure that we know who we are. And that requires being in the moment. It requires a plan. It requires writing it down. It requires white space. And through that white space, you're able to find out who we are, to be able to understand, hey, this is who we are, be able to have that mission statement, that purpose that you can ultimately guide all your actions through. And when you lead with that level of clarity, you have that roadmap, it can help create decisions for you in a way that you are able to be conscious and present that will, again, allow you to use ego for you and not against you. Because what do we always say? Ownership is knowing you're different. It's being different. Success is different. And we'll see you guys next week.